a great job as well, but Beth in our front office there. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Haggai chapter number 1. And I'm going to be briefer, I should say, tonight, a little bit more less windy, I should say. But tonight, because we have an annual meeting, I did want to make sure that we also still had preaching. It's still important for us to do so, and we've been doing a series that we'll probably take a break on here after tonight. We'll resume here at some point yet this year. But we've been studying the prophets. I happen to believe that it's important for each and every one of us to get a comprehensive view with the prophets, especially in the day and age in which we live, because we are looking forward to the return of Christ. And it's so important that we get here a comprehensive view. And so tonight, with your Bibles open there, Haggai chapter number 1, just beginning in verse number 3, the Bible says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now I happen to think this is one of the most practical books, most practical prophets. It's also, by the way, one of the shortest. You'll notice here just a couple of chapters. It's actually the second shortest Old Testament book. The shortest would be Obadiah. But I've entitled our prophet tonight, Haggai, the Rebuilding Prophet. And Haggai's prophecy came at a most opportune time. It's one of the most unique books in that Haggai actually dates his prophecy. In fact, he gives actually three different times, all within 1 year. The year is 520 BC. And the children of Israel have come back from their captivity. It's been some 18 years, but there's a problem. Now, what happened was this. When they first came back, they were so excited. It's sort of like when a church is planted. You know, what a blessing, by the way, I recently had of having just being part of the Baptist church planting ministry, a ministry that actually was birthed right here in this place. Some of you that have been here for a long time, you remember the days when Dr. Earl Jessup, who's now with the Lord, when he started Baptist church planting ministry, and to just even have my annual meeting, because I'm on the board of BCPM, and to hear how the churches have been started even this last year, and how exciting the churches are being planned for this year. Now, when you have a church that just starts out, things are exciting. Things are thrilling. Things are just, I mean, they couldn't be any better. But what happened with the children of Israel is when they returned from captivity, at first it was exciting, but then all of a sudden they met opposition. And problems come up. And those problems basically caused them to stop the work for many, many years. What basically happened is discouragement. Discouragement came to the Jews. It hit them pretty hard. For some 16 years, they stopped. And instead of doing the work, because those that opposed them, that they just made it so difficult that they just turned their attention elsewhere. And basically what you see within this is a book about priorities. And how practical. Because you and I, we live in a day and age in which there's a lot of discouragement. And I'll tell you, it happens in churches. Church work is not easy. Winning people to Christ is not easy. Trying to build a work for God is not easy. Trying to impact a community is not easy. There is, you know, a discouragement that comes in our homes, discouragement that comes in our church. And so that happened to the Jews. But then along comes this man, Haggai. And actually there were two men, not only Haggai, but 2 years after him, another prophet by the name of Zechariah. And these two prophets, they were called upon to stir up the people. Now, the way I would liken Haggai was sort of like a halftime speech. You know, the most famous that I know about halftime speeches happened in 1929 when the very famous Notre Dame coach, Newt Rockne, cheered on his team at halftime. They were losing to Army, but he gave that very famous speech. You might recall the very famous line. He told about a former player, and he said, "Why don't we win one for the Gipper?" George Gipp was the player that he referenced. Win one for the Gipper. Now, well, what you basically see is Haggai doesn't say win one for the Gipper, but he basically says win one for God. And listen, let's try and do something for God. The key phrase in Haggai is this: consider your ways. And so unique is the book of Haggai. And I'll tell you why it's unique. It's the only time I know about in the Bible where you've got a prophet that basically what he prophesies and basically gets the people to hear about, they listen and they follow. They follow. And it's really a success book. Notice he says, consider your ways. You know, it was Albert E.N. Gray, who at one time was the official with Prudential Insurance Company of America, and he gave a speech back in 1940 in which he said he had studied corporation after corporation. He said there is one trait of success that successful people share. He said it's not their looks. He said it's not hard work. It's not the relationships. But he said it's this. It is the habit of putting first things first, priorities. You see, what you put first makes all the difference in the world. Gray observed this. He said the successful person has the habit of doing things that failures don't like to do. And I think that's true not only in corporations secularly, that is most important here with the things of God. We have to put first things first. And so therefore, we've got this story about the Jews and how they came back. They came to Jerusalem after being in captivity for 70 years. And when opposition happened, they began to divert themselves into other things, mainly their own houses. That's why when you read chapter number 1, he mentions that. He mentions just the fact that they have now, you know, taken care of their own resources, their own things, but they have not taken care of the things of God. Basically, this book is all about putting first things first. And Haggai's message, he pulls no punches. He just basically wastes no words, but he gives this speech and the people responded. In fact, we read the effect in Ezra 6 and verse 14, where the Bible says, "And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, and they builded, and they finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia." They finished the temple. They had stopped for some 16 years. They didn't do any work. Now, all of a sudden, they began to finish the job. You know, this is very similar to the very famous verse in Matthew chapter 6, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I think, by the way, this is also a very appropriate message for a night in which we are having a church business meeting. Wouldn't you agree? After all, what is the church's business? His business. It's not our business. It's not mine, my agenda, your agenda. It's whatever the Lord needs. It's his kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. And so many times we read in the Bible, set your affection on things above and seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, therefore, in this book of Haggai, and I'm going to be brief here tonight, but Haggai basically gives us four encouragements. What does he say? First of all, he says this, and it's practical to us today. He says, stop making excuses. You know, the Jews of Haggai's day are no different than the people of God today. We all make excuses. Why didn't they finish the temple? Why didn't they do things right? Well, notice in Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 2, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." In other words, they said, we just haven't gotten around to it. How many times do we say the same thing? I'll get around to winning people to Christ. I'll get around to witnessing for the Lord. I'll get around to serving the Lord. I'll get around to giving. I'll get around to doing all these things. We have so many excuses, and these excuses are really no excuse when it comes to God. I'll get around to reading my Bible. I'll get around to memorizing verses. If you notice, by the way, I'm giving us little opportunities here to obey God. Have you memorized some verses this year? Have you begun to pray? I'm having the prayer group. A lot of different things. You know, reading our Bible. We did a reading challenge last year. Again, it's time. The time is now. Stop making excuses. But secondly, he says this, stop being selfish. Closely aligned with the excuses are the selfishness that came into the lives of the people. And Haggai uncovers their selfishness. Notice in chapter 1 and verse number 4, he says this, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell?" And what he says is, "your sealed houses." Now, what does this mean? The house was finished when they put the ceiling on, when they put the roof. The roof was the last thing. What he's saying is, you finished your house, but you didn't finish my house. You finished your things, but you didn't finish mine. And I'm afraid what we do with God is we give God hand-me-downs, we give him seconds, that we do not give him first. The Bible makes it very plain. God deserves our best. I love it when the choir sings that opener, which says, there's something different in the air. It's Sunday. You know, there should be something different about Sunday. Sunday should not be like every other day. Sunday should be a day where we give God our best. We give him the day. We set aside for singing, for worship. We set aside here for serving. You know, I think that you and I need to also understand that it's important that God, if God gets us, he also gets our money. And you say, "Pastor, I knew you were going to get around to that." But you know, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." The pattern of the early church was Sunday was a day that they also worshiped with their tithes and their offerings. That was the pattern of the early church. Now, I will tell you this, it's so important that God get his very best with us in every which way. I speak about, you know, for instance, missions, and I hope that you are giving not only your tithing, but you're also giving. And one of the things that has been a blessing, we'll have a report on it here tonight, has been the fact that we have had opportunities to support missionaries. You know, it was actually when Pastor Johnson instituted the Faith Promise Mission Program. You realize we didn't always do this. We didn't always have Faith Promise Missions, but I'll never forget. I think he was influenced by Dr. Jim Vineyard. Dr. Vineyard told him about it, and Pastor Johnson said, "That's a great idea." I think it was about 1994 that Pastor Johnson brought it to our church and said, "We ought to give above our tithes, and we're going to dedicate to missions." And, you know, from that very day until this day, Valerie and I, we have supported every single year Faith Promise Missions. I'll also tell you something else by way of testimony. And listen, I'm not saying this here because I'm rich, but I'm saying it because God honors. And God honors those who honor him. But every single year, Valerie and I, we have increased our giving to where it really doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm just waiting, by the way, for maybe shouldn't say this while we are being videotaped, but I'm just waiting to be audited 1 year and have the IRS say, you certainly aren't giving that amount. And I go by the statement that I get from Nancy. But we have been blessed as every single year, as we've increased and we've been able to support missions and support it more. And God has blessed and God has taken care of. I'm simply saying that Haggai deals with this place of being selfish. Don't be selfish. You give to God. You give to others. Not only that, but I put this down, don't miss God's blessings. Another lesson that we learn from Haggai is to make sure that we take advantage of all of the blessings of God. Notice in verse number 5, he continues, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." That's a phrase that's found a couple of times. He says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, and ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." I think, you know, especially in this day and age in which we have inflation coming, do you know how to be inflation proof? Give to God. Do you know how to just simply overcome all of the negative economic factors? Just simply put God first. Just do that. And he says this, it's like this. He said, you get your paycheck, but your paycheck just simply is put in a bag with holes in it, and it falls out. Listen, you and I, though I don't believe, by the way, in the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, I don't believe that. I do believe that God takes care of our needs. See, that's one of the differences with the prosperity gospel. Prosperity gospel is about your wants, and it's about you becoming rich for yourself, your sake. But I believe the Bible teaches, and I believe it very firmly. One of the verses I have always claimed is Psalm 37:25. You know, of course, Psalm 37 is my favorite psalm. But that one verse, David said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, God provides all that I need. God provides, and I believe that. I believe that in the year that we live, 2022, I believe that. When you put God first, God puts you first. When you push God out, you do not get God's blessing. And so therefore, I think that you and I, we need to make sure that we do that. Blessings come with priorities. Put God first in your life and watch God bless. And then number four, I put this last thought down. Take time to evaluate. It's so important, as Haggai says a couple of times, consider your ways. Notice he didn't say consider your neighbor's ways. We're real good about judging. We're real good about noticing what our neighbor does or doesn't do. But God says, no, consider your ways. I don't know if you've ever seen it as I close, but the illustration of the jar with the different size rocks, big rocks, smaller rocks, pebbles, and then sand. Four different sizes. And I've seen this illustrated many, many times. As an individual will take they do these, by the way, in secular seminars as well, but it's really a great principle. As you take that jar and all of these different size rocks, and the question is, do you think that you can put all of this inside this jar? And the answer is yes, but only if you put the big rocks in first. If you put the sand in first, it doesn't work. If you put the pebbles in before the big rocks, it doesn't work. It's only when you put the biggest priorities and get those straight that all of a sudden everything works out. And so tonight, Haggai is an encouragement. And especially in this day and age, prior to the return of Christ, you and I need to put first things first. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you putting first?